Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this most beautiful morning. We thank you that this family can gather here in your house. We ask that you open our hearts to the things that we focus on in our lives. We can learn as we listen at this during this sermon time. May we hear your words. May we learn more about living your words. Father God, we thank you for being our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in Revelations 1, which we started a few weeks ago now, we read of God's angel being sent to John. The angel shared the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. The angel asked John to write letters to the churches of Asia. There would be seven letters. Asia is now Turkey. While John was on the island of Patmos and they expected him to die, he was put there to do hard labor for sharing the word of Jesus. He saw the angel and he knew what his work would be. Each letter to the seven churches would include a call to listen. To let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I think that's a giant call for all of us right now in today's world. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. And isn't it amazing that 2,000 years later, we're still reading these letters? How valuable. How precious. John indeed fell at the feet of Jesus as Jesus stood before him. He was holding seven stars in his right hand, and there were seven lampstands beside him. The lampstands were symbols of the church, as the church is responsible for enlightening their members. There needs to be enlightening about God's love. All the lampstands were the same in form and function, and John was trusted to share the revelation of Jesus. These seven letters would include messages of praise, repentance, reward, warning, and assurance. Jesus was dictating these letters to John. I'm going to be reading from Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, there are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Paul, along with Aquila and Priscilla, had served the church of Ephesus for 3 years, and Timothy had taught there. So the people there were actually teaching others to teach others. There was a clear model of loving others in Christ. The church of Ephesus was praised for its endurance as it continued to reject false prophets. No matter what was going on around them, outside of the church, within the church, the teachings of God would continue. The city was at the port of entry for Asia, and the church was in the midst of Greek and Oriental cultures. Many there had worshipped the goddess Diana, for whom a huge temple had been built. This temple of Diana is also known as the Temple of Artemis. It is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. A numerous amount of people had turned to Christianity while being in this town. The church was holding their ground as they stayed committed to the truth. Jesus was aware of their work as believers and aware of the sense of their growing weariness, but no false teachings would make their way into the church. No false teachers. They could not fully gain leadership among the people. The admiration and wonder that they felt for Jesus when they newly became followers was starting to fade. It's almost like the more they heard, the more they interacted with, that brand new love they had for Christ was fading. And even with the good that was occurring inside the church, Jesus knew there were some who were slipping as they were moving away from their first love. At this time, there was a definite call for repentance. As the people faced persecution, there were some who walked away from their first love. Perhaps it was an easier way of life for them. Perhaps it was the way their family had gone. The Nicolaitans tolerated immorality. Very little else was known about them. But their way of living was in your face when you would leave the church building. Ephesus was famous, for it became the center of religious and cultural and economic teachings. It looked like a wonderful city. However, underneath, there were ungodly practices occurring. These ungodly practices were growing within the city and trying to make its way to the church. The people were encouraged to repent and change direction. Turn back to loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't we all need to hear that? Repent. Turn back. There is a need to get back to basics. There are churches in today's world that need to get back. They need to recognize their first love. There was a promise in this letter, a promise of reward for those who would overcome their sinful ways. And Jesus shares encouraging words to those who would remain faithful to God and persevere to the end. He stated that those who persevere to the end will eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. That's a big heavenly promise right there that is made to each of us who persevere. And yet there was a warning in this letter, the warning to the church that those who would not act out of love would lose their effectiveness. They needed to ask themselves, am I loving Jesus enough? Am I loving Jesus enough? Am I spending time in his word? Am I remembering how to use prayer? Do I find joy in getting together with other Christians? Can I get back to the excitement I felt when I first told others that I love Jesus? Jesus shared the lampstand would be replaced and the church would end if things kept going in the wrong direction. We've seen that happening among some churches. Breaks my heart. Because the light is taken out when the lampstand goes. He warned the churches that their lampstand would be removed if the instructions of the church were not followed. Do we understand the instructions of the church? They were encouraged to turn back to their first love. I love that. Turn back to their first love. The excitement of recognizing that Jesus loves you. The excitement of asking him into your heart. Jesus, only Jesus, could save them. There was an assurance shared in these letters that the church, as they were reminded, that God knows where they are. So God knows where the church is. God knows where each of you are in your faith walk. There's an assurance that in your faith walk, you are rich in many ways. Do we say thank you for our blessings? Do we recognize our blessings? Jesus let them know that he knew specifically what was happening within the church, and he told them to go back to doing what they were doing when the church first began. Don't tolerate the sins of others. You don't necessarily have to voice your opinion with others unless you are ready to do so in a positive way, bringing light to Jesus. But you can avoid tolerating the sins of others by the way you live. Your life is a message to others in this world. Never underestimate the power of love. And so they were encouraged to be bold in their kindness. They were promised that paradise would be restored to the heavenly garden as it was in the beginning of creation, when there was no sin. It was simply beautiful, peaceful. This letter is written actually to all of us. And we are encouraged to listen to the Spirit. We are able to, and we can overcome evil. That's a gift that he's given to each of us. We can overcome evil. Lack of love can be turned around by walking in Jesus' redeeming love. Living as Jesus lived allows us to be more grateful, more helpful. It stops us from judging others, from becoming more mindful of others, and it brings joy to each of our lives. It allows us to share about Jesus. We are to do the right things for the right reason and to be humble always. God's grace and his love are for each one of us. Our patience and our steadfast endurance will be noticed by others. And if not, it will bring joy to you no matter what. Jesus knows what's going on in our lives. And faith lets believers overcome this world. We're at a particular point of heightened awareness of the evil things that are happening in our world. Please do not underestimate love and how we are able to share love with others. When we love others, we are loving Christ. We will have the blessing to live in the place where God is on his throne, where Jesus resides as the Lamb of God, and where the tree of life is. And that is heaven. The place where God lives is paradise, a garden of delight. And so for us, As we simply read through that first letter, there's praise. We are promised joy. We are promised to feel joy, live joy, when we follow Jesus. We are promised a thankfulness that will allow us to care for others just as Jesus had cared for others. And wasn't he amazing in his walk? We are promised repentance, that notion of changing direction. When you are angry, when you tell a lie, when you gossip, when you put somebody down, when you think a negative thought, we have the ability to change direction immediately. We can do that with his light and his love in our hearts. We are going to be rewarded in heaven. It's going to be paradise. This week I've just been singing and humming, "Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm gonna see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I wanna go there." Amazing how that popped into my mind so frequently this week. It's a happy beat, a little song, and just filled with meaning, right? We all want to be there. It's filled with glory and grace, consistently. We are given a warning where we can take a step back and say, "Is my light dimming? Am I studying his word appropriately? Is there less joy in my daily activities? Do I need to be with people of faith? Can I surround myself with more people of faith?" Tune into these warnings, right? Turn to him in prayer. Take some positive steps forward in your daily walk with him, with Jesus. And then we are given assurance that God knows where you are in your walk. He knows when you don't feel well. He knows when things are spinning out of control. He is with you always. He knows it. He knows where you are. Turn to that first love. That first love, that first excitement. Oh my goodness, look at this man. Read about this man who has done so much for this world, who has cared and loved and shared and continues to do so through the lampstands that he's provided and the light in your hearts. Turn to him and remember him as your first love. Am I loving Jesus enough? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the ability to study your word, especially this morning. We are thankful that you are our first love. You are our first love. You have this all planned out. We know you are our Heavenly Father. We know you are in charge of this world. May your lampstands and your light be seen this week and next week and into the next week. May we continue to turn to our first love and to be able to love you as you have loved us. In your precious name, amen. Would anyone like to add or ask a question about the sermon this morning?